Hi, I'm Erica Mills. Welcome to the Language Lab podcast. So this week marks the occasion of two birthdays. Today, April 22nd, is the birthday of the environmental movement. We refer to this as Earth Day. It's its 45th anniversary, so that's exciting. It is also this week my birthday. Yay, birthday! So, birthdays, as you have more and more of them, become less about the cake and the candles and a bit more an opportunity for reflection to look back on the year that just happened, and then also to look forward to how you hope other years will unfold. Now, a few years ago, I had a lot of people in my life pass away. A lot of people who should have had many, many, many more birthdays, and they passed away. So around my birthday, I always go back to this piece, which was a commentary on NPR by Aaron Freeman, that my friend Stacy sent me when I was going through that phase of losing a lot of people. I'm going to read it to you. I know that it sounds sort of morbid to think about death around your birthday, but I think once you've heard this, you'll understand a little bit more about why I find this piece one so poignant, why I hold it so near and dear to my heart. And there's a piece at the end that I really think will reframe how you might think about how we walk through the world. So here it is, Aaron Freeman and his commentary. You want a physicist to speak at your funeral. You want the physicist to talk to your grieving family about the conservation of energy so they will understand that your energy has not died. You want the physicist to remind your sobbing mother about the first law of thermodynamics, that no energy gets created in the universe and none is destroyed. You want your mother to know that all your energy, every vibration, every BTU of heat, every wave of every particle that was her beloved child remains with her in this world. You want the physicist to tell your weeping father that amid energies of the cosmos, you gave as good as you got. And at one point, you'd hope that the physicist would step down from the pulpit and walk to your broken-hearted spouse there in the pew and tell him that all the photons that ever bounced off your face, all the particles whose paths were interrupted by your smile, by the touch of your hair, hundreds of trillions of particles, have raced off like children, their ways forever changed by you. And as your widow rocks in the arms of a loving family, may the physicist let her know that all the photons that bounce from you were gathered in the particle detectors that are her eyes, that those photons created within her constellations of electromagnetically charged neurons whose energy will go on forever. And the physicist will remind the congregation of how much of all our energy is given off as heat. There may be a few fanning themselves with their programs as he says it. And he will tell them that the warmth that flowed through you in life is still here, still part of all that we are, even as we who mourn continue the heat of our own lives. And you'll want the physicist to explain to those who loved you that they need not have faith. Indeed, they should not have faith. Let them know that they can measure, that scientists have measured precisely the conservation of energy and found it accurate, verifiable, and consistent across space and time. You can hope your family will examine the evidence and satisfy themselves that the science is sound and that they'll be comforted to know your energy is still around. According to the law of the conservation of energy, not a bit of you is gone. You're just less orderly. Amen. So that's the commentary by Aaron Freeman. It is that bit at the end about being less orderly that I have to tell you got me through a lot of dark days. The idea that there is this law of conservation is quite powerful. And again, I come back to this now each year around my birthday because as we get older, things get less orderly. They just get less orderly. No matter how many bins you label and how many lists you make, things are just a little less orderly. They're less orderly, you know, physically, they're less orderly, you know, emotionally, sometimes spiritually, sometimes. And so it is in that disorder, and that can be disorienting. And I really come back to this, and I find solace in this fact that, you know what, that's just how it goes, and that's okay. It's okay for things to be less orderly. And the question isn't, how can I stop that? How can I put everything back in order? It's really, how are we going to deal with the dishevelment and with the disorder? I neglected in my rush, in my haste to read that piece that I so adore, I neglected to start off with a definition of birthday, which, not surprisingly, it's a noun. It's the anniversary of a day on which a person was born, typically treated as an occasion for celebration and the giving of gifts. Not sure when the giving of gifts really came on the scene. I couldn't find anything about that. But interestingly, the word birthday was hardly used around 1800, and now it's going up and up and up and up. So there is something about the word birthday, particularly lowercase, where we're seeing an increase. And I wonder, is that about our affection for gifts, receiving and giving? But really on your birthday, so many people are thinking about receiving, and especially when you're little, that's what you're thinking about, right? Is that what it's about? Or maybe can we recast that and have it be an increase in the amount of time and energy that we spend reflecting on what it means to be here on this earth, doing whatever we were put on this earth to do, and as disorderly as that may be. As per usual, not a lot of answers to this question that I'm posing in this podcast, but hopefully some good food for thought. I hope you have a marvelous week, birthday or not, and I look forward to talking to you next week.